18. And if there are doors that needs to be closed, God, even though we may not understand, we are trusting and depending on you. And so, Lord God, have mercy upon us this night and bless us, Lord God. And as we wait with anticipation for 2018, and we look forward to what you'll yet do in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. And so tonight, I'm going to be as brief as I possibly can, working on it, to be brief. My sermon title is Courage to Face the New Year. And friends, you know that we need the courage to face the new year, don't we? Because certainly we do not know what is ahead of us. But we know that God knows what's ahead of us. Courage is defined as the ability to do something that frightens us. And courage is also defined as the strength in the face of pain or grief. And many, many things are going to be facing us next year. Some of us, the courage, we just need the courage even to change jobs. We need the courage even just to let go and breathe. The synonyms for courage are bravery and boldness and pluck and fearlessness and daring and audacity and grit are some of the synonyms for courage. And we're going to need courage because we can't do some of the things God has called us to do without courage. I truly believe that many of us don't even get to our full potential at times because we don't exercise courage. We're afraid to step out. But we must. And so, friends, tonight I want to share a word with you about courage. Courage to face the new year, whatever comes our way. We're going to be facing it with God. We're going to know that God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is with us. So tonight my main focus of my preaching is on Ecclesiastes 3:1-13. A time for everything, the writer says. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time for everything, no matter what we think or may assume, there is a timing for everything. We have heard the scripture read, a time to be born and a time to die. Timing is everything, friends. Timing. You know, sometimes you're working on something for a long time or try to get something done and it doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden, the right time, it just clicks and everything just comes in place. And you cannot believe and you thought to yourself, what was I doing that's so different? But it's timing. We have probably heard this phrase many times, that timing is everything. There's a great deal of truth in that statement. So tonight I want to talk about two things for that Ecclesiastic text. And I want to share this with you, that in Ecclesiastics, that text of Ecclesiastes 3:1-14 is about life and us having two bookends, right? We have two bookends. We have our first bookend is our entry into the world. That's our first bookend. And the second bookend is our exit from the world. And these two bookends are, for the most part, are out of our hands. We cannot control when we are coming into the world, bookend number one, and we can't control when we're leaving, for most part, the other bookend. But what we can control is the in-between. Are you with me, friends? God has given us the in-between, the time that we have between the two bookends. Tonight, I want to briefly talk about the in-between time. Because you see, when we play around with the in-between time, when we don't know our purpose in the in-between time, we mess up. The in-between time is what God has given us, what God has extended for us who is going to bring through to 2018 is going to be the in-between time. You want to say, thank you, Lord, for the in-between time. Because that's what we have control over. We can manipulate the in-between time. Have you ever looked at bookends and the books on a shelf? I'm always fixing the books in my shelf, in my office. You know, there are bookends everywhere, and I'm always adjusting and putting smaller ones here and bigger ones there and moving them around because I have what? Control over that. We have control over our lives over the in-between time. And so we need to trust God during those times. Even when we cannot figure it out. I read a brief reflection today and it says, a woman was given 24 to 48 hours to live, and she learns a valuable lesson that we could learn from her. The writer says, for 11 years, Mary Leonard of Louisville, Kentucky, was dealt with a rare inflammatory tissue disease that invades the muscles. Mary's case turned deadly when the disease invaded her heart. In fact, in March of 2010, Mary was told by doctors that she had 24 to 48 hours to live. But after 20 days in a hospice center, another 51 days in a rehab, and a number of days at home, Mary is still alive. She's now reflecting on the changes that take place when you learn your time is short. She says, I call myself an average Christian, Mary says. I don't know exactly why God has done this for me, but I do know that life looks different now. And Mary offers five life lessons she learned through her ordeal. God would bless her and give her more time and the in-between. She says, number one, know that prayer is powerful. That seeking prayer from God is powerful. Number two, mend fences now. That means whatever we are holding against somebody, whatever you know is paining us, whatever grudges we have, she says, mend fences now. Number three, release the reins of life to God. Whatever are reins that we put on our own life that stops our progress, release it to God. Know that God is able, the next point, more know that God is able. That God is more than able. And the final point, put your focus on what really matters. Instead of all the things that really don't matter, put your focus on what really matters. And Mary had to have gone through this difficult time to realize that. We don't have to go through a difficult time to realize that. That we need to what? That prayer matters. We know that because that's why we're here tonight, right? We know that prayer is the key. And we know that we have to live our life by mending. Do you know that some of us have carried, you know, hatred, or in our case, maybe not hate, but been so upset with folks that we have been upset with for the whole all of 2017. I hope nobody here under my voice have done that. Wasted our energies. Because remember what I said, we are the control of the in-between times. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing with our in-between time? Alright? Are we wasting it on malice and being upset? Alright? And not hearing from God. She says, release the reins of our life to God. We need to release it. Right? If we haven't released, sometimes we hold on so much that we miss out on our blessings. We just miss out on it. We have to have the courage to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And we need to focus on what really matters. Mary had to face that life-threatening disease to realize that. Now from the Solomon text, we could learn something. Here are the lessons we can learn from Solomon.
Timing is everything. Therefore, number one, expect change. We go into the new year, we must what? Expect change. Because if timing is everything and time is in God's control, we must expect change. Verses 1 to 8 of Ecclesiastic 3, 1 to 8 tells us that there's a time for everything under the sun. That means we must expect change. The Bible tells us, you know the Bible, the Word of God that we read all the time. It doesn't lie, it cannot lie. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, right? A time to plant, a time to pluck up. That means we shouldn't be surprised when change come in our lives, friends, and be bogged down and get overwhelmed when change come. When change come that we don't expect, we should just go on our knees and seek God's face and call on His name and says, God, I don't know why you're changing this situation. I didn't expect it to, but I'm seeking you and I'm trusting in you and I'm believing in you. Yeah. Glory. Huh? Yeah. Because the writer tells us, Solomon was the wisest king. He might have run around a lot, but he was wise. There's a change, the Bible tells us. He had many wives. It's not a secret. You know, it's in the Word. Expect change. The next point I'm making here, accept limitations. Ecclesiastic 3, 9 to 11 reminds us. He says here in his verses, He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. So we have got to accept our limitations. There are times we spend so much time wanting to do something that we cannot do, or we ought not to do, or God is not allowing us to do, we waste good time. In the in-between times of our lives. You know, I'm working on my in-between. Because we don't know when that bookend is going to move. So I'm just focusing not on when the bookend is going to move, I'm just focusing on what I'm doing in-between. Because that's all I have control over is what I am doing in-between. And if God has told me to write a book on the in-between time, I should get busy and do it, shouldn't I? If God had told me to learn the piano on the in-between time, well, God wouldn't tell me that. But anyway, if God told me that, I should be busy learning, right? Because that's the time that's all I have is the in-between time. And many of us are wasting our in-between time. Just wasting it. And while we're at it, next point, we should serve God. That's what the Matthew text is reminding us of. We should serve God. For it says in Ecclesiastic, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live. Solomon says it. And the Gospel of Matthew reminds us. Right? So while we're in the in-between time, we should what? Be serving God. Amen. Serving God. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison and you came to see me. Whatever service God has called us to do, we should not be living our lives for ourselves. It's always about me, me, me. The requirement from God is that we are doing something for somebody else. When I see people who are so self-centered and it's only about them and their children and what they're doing, I just keep running. Because I'm not wasting my in-between time. We can't be so self-centered. God is not pleased. Right? He says, welcome into my kingdom because I was hungry and you gave me food to eat and I was naked and you brought me clothes. And Solomon reminds us we should serve God. Use our in-between time well. And then Solomon, wonderful Solomon, he says, the next point he says, I want to give you is enjoy life. He tells you, he says, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is the gift of God. Enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life as Christians. We don't have to live like we're in prison. We have to enjoy life. Right? When we're trusting in the Lord. When we're realizing that He is the one He's got everything in his hands. We could enjoy life. We could take a trip. You know, we could get our hair done. The women know that. The men know that too. We could get our nails done and everything and look lovely. God wants us to enjoy life. And then my last point, and that is trust and fear God. We must trust God and fear God. What is that proverb scripture says? The fear of God is wisdom. The fear of God is wisdom. And it doesn't mean we fear God that we can't go to God. We can go to God in reverence, but fearing that God is in control and trust Him. Solomon says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him. Nothing is surprised to God, and nothing can be taken from it. God does it, and it's so. So friends, as I bring this to a close now, I just want to give you three scriptures on courage. Therefore, because we know that God is in control, and we know that God has allowed us to be in partnership with Him for our lives. Right? He didn't control our whole life. He has given us the in-between time. You should say, thank God for the in-between time.
Praise the Lord.
Some of our in-between times could be 80 years. Some of us is going to be 100 years in-between time. Do you know that some people live a long time? God has given us time, and if you have not done what you ought to do with the in-between time, let 2018 be that time. Amen. Say, God, if you let me see 2018, I'm going to be doing something. I'm going to be doing something, you know, like soon. I'm going to be writing a book or making a dress or drawing a picture. I'm going to do something. Something I've been wanting to do that I haven't done. Right? When you see me all over and it says how famous I am because this sermon is going to speak to me. And I'm going to get up January 1st and says, what am I doing with my in-between time? There's more to be done, isn't it? Praise God, because God is with us. And so the scripture on courage I want to give you, Psalm 56, 3-4 says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Right? We're going to trust in God. And then Isaiah 41 says, so do not fear. For I am with you. There's a word for you for 2018. The Lord says, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We could have the courage to face tomorrow. God says, do not fear. He's going to be with us. Isaiah will tell us again that the Lord says, "Fire, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." These are the promises of God for us for the new year. And then Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He's not going to forsake you in 2018. God hasn't forsaken you in 2017, right? And He's not going to forsake you. He doesn't know the word. The word forsake is not written in God's book. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He just gave me that revelation. That's a human word. Right? He's not going to forsake us.
Amen.
So we can have courage and stand firm and trust in the Lord. So that's my hope for you for 2018. That you will stand firm. Take hold of the in-between time. And do what God has called you to do.
Amen.
And I'm going to take hold of my in-between time and I'm going to run this race until the end.
Amen.
And some things that I haven't done that I've been talking about, I'm going to be doing them. And I'm expecting you to do what God has called you to do. Some young people want to do great things. We have that in-between time. And as long as we trust in the Lord, God will bring us through. Amen.